In a moment, transcribed.
Presenting Charles Boyer.
Hello, my dear. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, Michel.
National Broadcasting Company takes great pleasure in presenting Mr. Charles Boyer as Michel. And who is Michel? You would not ask that question if you were a born Parisian. For Michel is pointed out as a living symbol of Paris as she ought to be. Impeccable, debonair, worldly without a hint of boredom, but instead an unmistakable lust for the good life. And the good in life is his golden fleece. He looks for it always. And always he manages to find someone with whom to share it. At the moment, his brisk footsteps slow on the Parisian sidewalk as he sniffs the tempting aroma of the café before him. He gently pats his pockets, which feel amazingly empty. But before entering, he tosses a coin to the girl who sings.
Michel!
Ah, Mr. Conway, I hoped you might be here.
And a good thing, too, I should imagine. I saw you toss the money to the girl.
So?
So she sings while you starve.
Starve? How can one starve in Paris? Look around you, Bart. Look at the beauty which is everywhere. Drink and eat your fill of it. And while you are so attractively engaged, I will order myself a small fillet of sole with the mussels and a white wine sauce.
I really don't know what I did before you came into my life, Michel, before I started buying stories from you.
You did not have time for all these delightful things you wanted, even in Paris, because you were constantly trying to find something new to write about. I have made all this possible for you.
You're right. You know, Michel, I've been thinking a good deal about you.
Oh, I'm flattered.
I'd like to ask you a question, a personal one, and one that you certainly don't need to answer if you don't want to.
Please do.
You've been a most intriguing companion these past few weeks. You're a man who has obviously known a great many people, yet you are always alone. Your adventures have been crowded with faces, but it's you yourself that interests me. How is it possible for such a man to be alone? Not in your stories, Michel, but in your heart.
This is a personal question, Bart.
I know. There's no need for you to answer.
I would like to tell you.
Possibly there is a little woman in Passy with 10 children? Somehow I doubt it.
You know, I've been asked this question before, but not by a man, however. It was always a lady who suddenly said, "Who is it? Who is it that you must go back to?" Yes, but I would like to tell you the story. But this one is not for sale.
Really?
Would it be asking too much of your imagination if I were to tell you that I am entirely alone as a result of one very small misunderstanding?
I can believe that. Go on.
It all concerns just 3 people. Or should I say 4? A woman, of course. Another man and myself. The fourth? Well, the fourth was a clock.
A clock is not a person.
Possibly not. But to some people, a clock has a definite gender. There are many who feel that the AM has the dainty sound of femininity, and that the staccato PM shouts the authority of the male.
I think I'm sorry I can't buy this one. You have a poet's feeling for this story. Your words are lush, but convincing.
This is my own story, Bart, not for publication.
All right. A clock may have its gender, then.
In that case, we can think of this particular clock as a living thing. It hangs on the wall at the bend of a staircase in a little hotel on an estuary. It was within hearing of its gentle chime that 2 people, already quite in love, became completely in love. It all began, as things so very often do, at a cocktail party. I do not like cocktail parties, Bart, and I was more than bored at this one. I decided to get myself another drink. It was the only way I could stand it. As I got up...
Would you mind getting me one, too?
Oh, but of course, mademoiselle. What would you like?
Champagne, thank you.
See? As if you waved a magic wand. It's coming at this instant. Waiter, Here, please.
Thank you. Won't you sit down? You were alone, and I'm sure I wanted to be alone just as much as you did.
Why?
Why? Oh, a lot of people, most of whom I don't know, none of whom care whether I do or not. The horrible knowledge that I wish I was home, and yet knowing that this is where I ought to be.
But why ought you to be here?
I'm told that one must make contact.
Oh, for what?
The theater.
Oh, then you are an actress.
Let's just say that I want to be.
You mean nobody will have you?
Not yet. But they will.
You're very sure.
Oh, I know. I'm very good.
I'm sure you are. In every way.
I didn't mean that. I work very hard at my job. But as yet, I've never had the chance to step on a stage. But I know I'm ready. And I'll get the chance. Don't worry.
You know, oddly enough, I'm beginning to. I think I should like to engage you as my principal, Warwick. Would you consider it?
Well, it's the best offer I've had up to now. You're nice. What's your name?
Michelle. What's yours?
Solange. And I must go now.
May I phone you?
Oh, I'm afraid not. I've enjoyed this, Michelle, more than you know. But I'm going to be an actress, and until that happens, I just haven't time for anything else.
But I must see you. It's very important that I see you.
Why?
Huh? Why? I don't know why, Solange. I really don't know, but it suddenly seems more important than anything else in the world.
Thank you, Michelle. I would like to see you. But I can't. Not now.
When, then?
Supposing we say, on my opening night, wherever and whenever it is.
Solange, may I present my very good friend, Michelle.
How do you do?
Mademoiselle, thank you for an evening in the theater which I doubt I shall ever forget.
You're very kind.
He is anything but. He is a disreputable rascal. And I warn you against him.
Oh, high praise, indeed, from such a discerning critic.
What form does your villainy take, monsieur?
In this case, it takes the form of turning the conversation back into the proper channel, where it belongs, about you.
I think you see what I mean, Solange. I'll leave you two for a moment. I'll be back and take you on to your party, but take care.
The lovely Solange is in no danger, my friend.
I was talking to you, Michel. I don't trust either of you.
Hello.
Hello.
You were wonderful.
Thank you, Michel. Oh, and thank you for keeping our date.
I've never forgotten it for a moment.
Isn't it strange? Neither have I. I knew you'd be here.
Are you glad?
Are you coming to my party?
I'm going anywhere that keeps you in my sight.
I'm afraid you've been carried away by the sound and fury of an opening night.
No. As I watched you on that stage tonight, I knew that a star had been born. I knew that I was watching greatness, but I knew more than that.
Did you?
Yes. I knew that if what was happening to me happened to the rest of your audience, then all Paris would be in love with you tonight.
Is that what happened to you?
Incredibly. Yes. Beautifully. Electrically.
Oh, unbelievably.
To you, perhaps.
To you. Tomorrow.
No. No, my dear. No, I know myself better than that. I'm no impressionable youth. My emotions are better trained than to leap at the sudden challenge. No, no, this has not happened to me before. Not like this.
Then I'm glad.
Are you? Think a moment. Tomorrow you will be the toast of Paris. All the glamour of your profession will be yours. You will have no need of me.
It's not a question of need, Michel. When I saw you again, when you walked in this dressing room tonight, something happened to me, too. Something I did not want to happen.
Why?
I have my work. I need all my time for it. I have friends, and I'm fond of them, but they leave me emotionally undisturbed, and that is the way I want it.
Will you skip the party and have supper with me?
No, Michelle, I won't. The party is given for me and by my friends, and I shall be there. I don't want you to come, please. And I don't think that I ever want to see you again. Good night, Michelle. And goodbye.
You want to see me, sir?
Yes, Mr. Carton, I did. I am Michel Eville.
Oh, yes, Mr. Eville. What can I do for you?
I have some very interesting ideas concerning the publicity and exploitation of your play, Velvet Memory.
My dear sir, it is the biggest hit in Paris.
I know. The point, Mr. Carton, is to keep it that way.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Claude. This is Mr.
Eville, Michel Eville.
Thank you. Mr. Claude Evanston, who heads our management group.
How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Eville is of the opinion that we need more publicity and exploitation than we have, Claude.
Not more, Mr. Carton. Different. Better.
He may be right. It's one thing to have a hit show, another to keep it that way.
My words, exactly, Mr. Evanston.
Do you want to disclose any of your ideas, Mr. Eville? Or do you keep those well hidden until you have signed a contract?
Oh, I would be very happy to discuss several thoughts with you. It's quite simple. I believe that the entire barrage should be directed at Solange. She is the most exciting new star the theater has had for years. Paris must be made to love her even before they have had an opportunity to see her. She must be made an immortal. Her name must be coupled with Sarah Bernhardt and Chevalier.
Oh, this is happening already.
Among your friends, possibly, Mr. Evanston. But not to the world. Now, Broadway and London must know as much about her as you do.
And how do you propose to accomplish this?
Now you delve into the secrets of my trade. I shall have to ask you first to make a decision. I propose that you make me publicity director of your company. Your result will be that you will control the biggest star in the world.
Pardon the interruption, gentlemen. But it might interest you to know, Mr. Eville, that Mr. Evanston has a fair control already.
Is that so?
Oh, of course. He is not only the biggest shareholder in the company, but he has a far more important interest.
I don't think that concerns Mr. Eville, Carton.
On the contrary, if I am to do the job I should like to do, the closer I am to all members of this organization, the better.
Including Solange?
Including Solange.
That's what I thought. I think it most advisable that you should know that Mr. Evanston and Solange are engaged to be married.
Well, how wonderful. You are indeed a fortunate man, sir. My congratulations.
Thank you.
Still want the job, Mr. Eville?
More than ever, Mr. Carton. Why? Did you suspect that I had other motives?
How did you get this job? Are you a publicity man?
To answer both questions at once, I think possibly I am the best publicity man in the world.
But is it your business? Have you ever done it before?
No, I haven't, which I think gives me an approach to the problem, which is completely fresh.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I can't think how Claude ever...
Oh, yes. By the way, Solange, you did not tell me about Claude.
Well, there was no reason for me to tell you anything.
Well, wouldn't it have been a very easy way for you to get rid of me by simply saying that you were engaged?
Michelle, listen to me. Unless you consider our relationship to be entirely professional, I'm going to have to ask Claude to get rid of you.
All right. It's agreed. From now on, it's business. Nothing but business.
Fine. Nothing but business.
Oh, just one more thing, Solange.
What is it?
When you're alone, be sure to tell all this to your heart. It may not have been listening. Oh, hello, Solange. You will meet me at 9 in the morning for your broadcast over Radio Normandy. Luncheon at Fouquet's with the television people at 1. Tea at the Ritz with the soap people from America at 4. Then rest. No date after the performance tonight. I know you're tired. They have rest Sunday.
I hate heights, Michel. I just can't do it.
Every cameraman in Paris is waiting up there for you. Come on, come on. Keep your eyes closed.
Oh, is there no end to this? Will I ever get any rest?
Oh, yes, you will. I have a charming plan. We combine a lot of rest with a little business. Remember? Business?
Yes, I remember.
Then into the elevator, and up we go. Solange on the Eiffel Tower. Then I'll tell you the plan. Press duck at the Tour d'Argent and you are through for the week.
If you really want some press duck.
Oh, my dear, I never want press duck. I know 1,000 restaurants, but the Tour d'Argent it is. When we eat, we must be seen. And while we eat, I'll tell you all. Are you very tired?
Exhausted. But I must say, Michelle, I've never known such publicity. It's been worth it to the show, I know.
Thank you. I'm afraid it will be my only effort in this direction. I could never do it with anyone else.
That's what Claude says.
Isn't he pleased?
Claude is a good businessman, Michel, and a good gambler, too. He knows how to bide his time. He thinks you're in love with me.
But he's too good a businessman to object until I finish the job I'm doing for him.
Perhaps.
And do you think I'm in love with you?
You couldn't be. No man could put me through what you have if he were.
You asked for it.
I know I did, and I've gone through with it.
For the good of the show.
For the good of the show.
Good girl. Oh, did you ever give your heart the message I sent it?
Yes.
No answer?
No, Michel. You've been wonderful up to now. Tell me your plan.
I will. There is a little inn about 50 miles from here. It's on a quiet river, filled with peace and rest. I want to take you
Michel,
there.
Michel, I asked you...
No, you don't understand. This is a different kind of exploitation.
Pictures, lots of pictures. Away from the glamour and world of the theater and the city. The simplicity of the countryside. You know, feeling the pulse of the people. I've already spoken to Claude about it.
Did Claude agree to this?
Completely. We close the show for 3 days over the holiday next weekend. It's perfect timing.
Do you propose that just you and I take this trip together?
But of course. We have proved that we work beautifully together. We have proved that we are completely professional. And now we have the chance to prove just one more thing.
And that is?
That our relationship forever will be strictly business.
Michel.
Yes, Bart?
You were really in love with this girl, weren't you?
I've just thought of something. Today is the 23rd, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is always on the 24th of this month, every year.
What is?
That we turn back the hands of the clock. Oh, I haven't told you about the clock, have I, Bart? But I will.
Are you sure you won't let me use this yarn?
Quite sure. If anyone ever writes this, it will have to be after two people are dead. And the clock stops running forever.
I guess you really mean it. I had an idea you'd sell almost anything.
Beautifully phrased, my friend. I will sell almost anything.
But nothing that really matters to you. Like honor, a certain type of honesty, or an old clock, for instance.
That's right. An old clock that hung at the bend of a winding staircase. A clock mellowed by age, yet fashioned with such loving care that it never refused to intone the time of day to such as cared to listen. Solange and I were two of these. And as we came up the stairs that first day, it was just exactly 12 o'clock.
What a lovely sound. Listen, Michel.
Yes, charming welcome from a very old host.
I'm glad you made me come down here. From the moment we walked in, I've had a feeling of peace. Of a special kind of security.
It's what you need. Here is your apartment, my dear. There is a little fire burning, and I have arranged to have a tray brought up for your luncheon.
Oh, but how absolutely delightful. Oh, nothing could be prettier.
And you will be happy here. Well, I will leave you now. Just rest, and tomorrow we will go to work.
How strange to think of work in a place like this.
Oh, it will be a complete vacation with a camera. Good night, Solange.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, you look like an angel.
At least I slept like one. Will this dress do?
Oh, perfectly. We will photograph in color. Complete simplicity is a keynote. And I've had a picnic lunch packed.
Delicious.
And here is a little fishing rod for you. While I photograph, you shall try to catch me my dinner.
What a happy day this has been, Michel.
For me, too. I would like to repeat this day many times.
Are you satisfied with the work that we did?
Completely.
This will present an entirely new facet of the character of Solange.
Certainly will. One that she herself didn't know she had.
Well, she can go to bed now and think about it. More well tomorrow. Thank you, my dear, for a perfect day. Good night. That's the last shot, Solange. Our work is finished.
Our vacation, too. It's hard to think of going back.
You've been happy here, haven't you?
Divinely. Thank you, Michel. You arranged everything so beautifully.
That was my intention. I wanted absolute perfection for you while you were here.
Why don't you have dinner with me tonight? It's our last night together.
There is nothing I would like more, but isn't that cheating a little? We have an agreement, you know.
I know. My agreement. Well, if I made it, then I can withdraw it.
Withdraw it?
Well, partially withdraw it.
I don't think that is quite possible.
Why not?
Every day at exactly the same moment, that old clock on the stairs chimes its delicate melody 12 times. As long as it lives, it will continue to do so. Well, my dearest, just like that clock, my heart beats out its message to you each day. I love you. I love you. I love you.
It's still true, then?
It's been true since the first moment. It will be true as long as this heart lives. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing that will ever change it.
I told you that something had happened to me, too. I've done everything to dismiss it from my mind and from my heart. It's impossible. That's why I was afraid to come here with you alone.
I knew that just as I knew it about myself. I took advantage
of
it. Yes. I was not going to stand idly by while two lives were thrown away. At least without putting both of us to the test.
What possible test is there?
The test of discovery. The discovery that neither of us can or will live without the other. That's why I planned this trip.
But Claude, he's been so much a part of my life. He has been kind and generous.
Do you love him?
He's been like a father, a family. He has guided me.
Do you love him?
He has made my entire career.
Solange.
Yes, Michel.
Do you love me?
Yes, my darling. I do. I do.
That is the first time I've ever kissed you, my dearest. I think it is the first time I've ever kissed anyone.
I've waited so long.
We will be married, Solange. I will explain to Claude. He will understand, for he too has always loved you.
I don't know that I will ever have the courage to face him.
For our honeymoon, we will come here, to the little inn, where our lives can be governed by the chimes of the clock.
I think it was the clock. It made it impossible for me to go on, Michel. Those clear, sweet chimes insisted that I tell you the truth. I think that whenever shame or deceit look tempting to me, I shall always come back here and just listen.
I hope that for always we will be listening together, my dearest. For me, the chime of 12 o'clock will always make me see a picture of you listening at the bend of a staircase.
I love you, Michel. I love the poetry of your thoughts and the tenderness of your words. I want more than anything in the world to be your wife.
I shall spend my life making you happy. Beginning as soon as I can get to Paris and have my talk with Claude.
Are you going now?
Oh, yes. Yes, my darling. I'll drive back tonight, see Claude, and meet you in Paris tomorrow.
I understand. Oh, but Michel, are you quite sure... Michel, are you sure that you want me for always?
For always.
Where shall we meet?
Where we first really met. Backstage, in your own theater.
In my dressing room.
Tomorrow, then. At exactly 12.
While the little clock is chiming on the staircase.
Yes, my dears. Chiming the start of a new world, a new life. Our great adventure. Goodbye, my wife.
Goodbye, my husband.
Oh, good evening, Fernand.
Good evening, sir.
Well, it looks as though everyone has left. Oh, it isn't midnight yet, is it?
No, sir, about a quarter hour.
Is Mr. Evanston here? I've been trying to find him.
He was here today around noon. He left about 1 o'clock.
Oh, well, I'll have to see him tomorrow then. Guess it can't be helped.
Then if it's all right with you, sir, I think I'll close up. I'd like to get home myself.
Here you are, then, Fernand. Take this and get yourself a bite of supper.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I have an appointment with Mademoiselle Solange. She's waiting for me in her dressing room. We won't be long.
Well, I guess maybe you'll have to see her tomorrow, too.
What do you mean? Isn't she well? But she played tonight, didn't she?
No, sir, she didn't. The understudy did very well, though.
Fernand, where is Solange? Well,
I don't really know, sir. You see, at 6 o'clock tonight, she and Claude Evanston were married.
I'm sorry I asked the question, Michel.
Why? You needn't be, my friend. It was very tragic, but as I said, it was all the result of a very tiny misunderstanding.
Which you haven't told me.
No. You remember, I said that some people thought that a clock had a gender, feminine in the daytime, masculine at night, the dainty AM, the staccato PM. Well, Solange was at the theater at 12 o'clock noon. I was there at 12 o'clock midnight. It was a misunderstanding.
But why did she do it?
Well, she thought I had changed my mind.
But such a trivial thing.
Yes, I know. And possibly the only misunderstanding we ever would have had. As a matter of fact, we each realized what had happened before we ever saw each other again. But it was too late.
Has she been happy?
Who knows, my dear Bart? Who knows what is inside of one's heart? Wouldn't you say that I've been happy?
Yes, I would. You ever see her?
Once a year. On the 24th day of this very month, we meet at the little inn at the bend of the stairs. At exactly 12 o'clock noon, we turn the hands of the old clock back a full 12 hours. We look deep into each other's eyes and go away. Does that make you laugh?
No, it doesn't. You said, remember, that today is the 23rd.
Yes, I did.
Michel? Adamant?
A demain.
I didn't know you knew Christine Dubec. What a beauty that woman is, and what an actress. Say, hey, wait a minute. What did she say? A demain? Michel, you don't mean... But you said her name was Solange.
I only use my own right name when I'm telling a story about.
Then was it she? A demain, she said, until tomorrow.
Possibly, but who knows? To some, tomorrow never comes. To me, there is always another. Each sweeter than the last.
You still feel that way. What a man. You have a great philosopher.
I have, my friend. One that makes tomorrow always a great adventure. Oh, say, tomorrow, for instance, at 5 o'clock.
What happens tomorrow at 5?
An event that can shake France to its very foundations. Or at least provide me with a most exciting new experience.
Well, tell me, man, tell me.
Oh, I will, Bart, gladly. But remember, that is another story. And for that one, $200.
Charles Boyer will soon be seen starring in Douglas Sirk's production, The First Legion. Tonight you heard Edna Best as Solange and Herbert Butterfield as Bart Conway. Also in the cast were John Stevenson, Hi Everback, Victor Rodman, Ralph Sedan, and Margot Powers. Our show was written and directed by Matt Wolfe. Characters of Michelle and Bart Conway were created by Ernest Voidya and Clement Scott Gilbert. This program was transcribed. Listen again next week at this same time to Presenting Charles Boyer. Don Stanley speaking.
This Sunday, Phil Harris and Alice Faye return on NBC.